Well, God bless you all, and I'm thankful for the opportunity and the blessing to be able to share God's word. So I'm just blessed to be with you, even if it's not face-to-face, like you can hear my voice. So bless you guys. You know, tonight we heard the song, Our God. And I want you to just kind of let those two words just reverberate in your mind for a few moments, because that's what we're going to be talking about. Psalm 48 speaks of the greatness of God and his deserving of great praise. It speaks of the beauty of God's holy city and how it is a refuge for his people. The psalmist also speaks of God's unfailing love and right hand of righteousness to his people. But what I really want to direct your thoughts to this evening is the closing verse of Psalm 48, and it's found in verse 14. And it says, "For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death." Do you see what the psalmist did here? He made it personal. This is not just some God, a God of many. This is our God. It's personal. And you know what? We're going to make it even more personal, because I want you to go in your Bible to Psalm 18. We're not going to look at really that many verses tonight, but I want you to really get in your heart and in the depth of your being that this God of ours is, it's personal. It's, and we all know it's a relationship. You know, I've had some conversations with people through the years, and they kind of, you know, they have an idea about what God is, but you know what their idea is? It's regarding religion. They just have the wrong word in there. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. With our God, it's a relationship that we have. So in Psalm 18, if you're there, we'll start with that first verse, because it says, "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength." And we're going to go on to verse 2, where we're going to see a lot more my's. Mm-hmm. And you know what my indicates? The word my indicates belonging, doesn't it? That is what's mine. It belongs to me. You know, you might remember when you had kids, or maybe when you have grandkids, there's sometimes an issue about that. With, that's mine, you know. But in this case, I want you to think of it in a positive way, okay, because this ownership, this belonging aspect is what we want to look at tonight. And it's a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's what makes our relationship with God rich, and this is what he wants for us. So let's look at that verse 2. In Psalm 18, it begins, "The Lord is my rock." What is a rock but something that is strong, it's sure, it's solid, it's unmovable. The Lord is my rock. He wants this to be personal for you. That is what it is for us. He's our rock. Next, my fortress. Well, what is a fortress? I looked it up. Well, we all have an idea what it is. But this definition spoke very loudly to me. It says, it's a heavily protected and impenetrable building. A place with exceptional security. Well, what about that? And I should have said this, you know, I'm going to say it now, though. I want to preface these few verses by saying, you know, we know in the Old Testament, they did not have spirit within. So much of what we see in the Old Testament is a battle. It's a flesh and blood battle, isn't it? We see kings and armies and, you know, David and Goliath. It's a physical battle. Right? Well, when we're reading these verses and we see these physical things. I want you to realize and think about in this age of grace that we live in, that Barney alluded to earlier with the day of Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit for the first time. This age of grace, we don't always have a physical battle, do we? No, we have what the Word of God calls in Ephesians chapter 6, a spiritual battle. So when you see these things in verse 2 that we're going to go through, there's like eight different things. Well, actually, I think they repeat once. But these things, think about, they're not always in our life today. We're not going to need to run into a fortress that's, you know, made of cement walls or steel or whatever. We're talking about God's ability to protect his people. And when we have maybe it's not a physical need. We have many other needs in life, don't we? We have needs that are emotional, that maybe they're financial, maybe they're spiritual needs. But God promises to meet those. And in this case, he is our fortress. And he is where we go to when we need to be safe. And next it says, God, in verse 2, it says, for my fortress and my deliverer. Well, I guess that's pretty obvious. A deliverer is one who brings deliverance. Mm-hmm. What do you need deliverance in? God is there for whatever it is, be it physical, be it emotional. If you're under stress and you maybe you need a job, I don't know. God knows your need, and he is able to deliver. It says next that my deliverer, and then it says my God. Well, since it says my God, that must mean I can know him intimately. And you know what? Because you have spirit within you, you can know God intimately. You can know him in a much greater way than this psalmist knew him. And yet, he obviously had a relationship with God. We can have something that is that much greater because of the spirit that God has placed within each one of us when we became born again. And it says the next description that it uses, and it is my strength in whom I will trust. Well, right there I think about Ephesians 6:10. Be strong in who? In the Lord and in the power of his might. That's where we have strength, is in the Lord. And God will always be there. We heard that in manifestation. What a wonderful comfort it is to know. And we live in a pretty crazy time right now. I guess you know what? Probably anybody at any time in history could have said the same thing. Hey, we live in a crazy time. Well, you know, we are living in some crazy times. But God, like we heard again in manifestations, is not new to him. He knows what's going on. And he is our strength in every one of these situations. Then it says, he is my buckler. Well, a buckler is basically, in biblical times, was a small shield. But also, it can mean one that shields or protects. And that's, of course, that's what God is to us. He, you know what? No matter what is going on in this world, he shields us from that. He protects us from whatever it is that, and we know who the God of this world is. Bible tells us it's Satan. And so, you know what? He doesn't want you to be blessed. What is his ministry but to steal and to kill and destroy? So you know what? There's a little bit of that going on, isn't there? But God is our protection, and he's our buckler. So, hey, you know, God, this is great stuff that he's telling us here in Psalms. The next is, he's the horn of my salvation. Well, in the Bible, the horn represents strength and power. And the horn of salvation signifies God's power to save his people. You know, again, in the times of King David, he literally saved his life many times. And in the day and time in which we live, of course, God can be that physical saving force. But, you know, the greatest saving we ever got was when we got born again, right? We received God's Spirit, and we're new creatures. We're a new creation in Christ. That old life is gone. And For God to save his people in this day and time is, number one, he did the greatest saving is when we got born again. But after that, anytime you need his help, anytime in any aspect of your life, you need saving. God is there to save you. The horn of our salvation. And then it, the last part of verse 2 says, and my high tower. The high tower is what offers peace and safety. It's a high vantage point to be able to see clearly what's going on around you. Well, you know what? I think it also says in Ephesians that we're seated in the heavenlies. Are we not? Well, what kind of vantage point do you think you have seated in the heavenlies? Yeah, you know what? You, again, once again, because of the spirit that God has placed within you, you are not looking up to all what's going on. You are in the heavenlies looking down. Mm-hmm. And God has taken care of all these things for us. Because, why? Because he loved us so much. And you know, and this wonderful privilege that we have to be living in this age of grace where we can know God as our God. And then, you know what, beyond that, as a body of Christ, we can say that. But beyond that, you, each one of you, can say, that is my God. There is no greater thing on this earth than to be able to know in your heart of hearts that the God that created the heavens and the earth, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ is my God, is your God. And he promises in his word that that same God is going to supply. It says in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory. Is there anything that God left out in this? No. I just want, and my heart for all of us tonight, is that we would so know him, and that to know that that is God's desire, that we take him so personally, and that the word that he has directed to us, especially in the church epistles since the day of Pentecost, these things that are directed towards us, we should put our names, every one of us, put our names on what he's told us and say, this is for you. And put your name in there, Jan Booz, or put your name in there, Bob Linfeld, and all the rest of you. It's for us. He wants us to take it personally. So God bless you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your wonderful love, and that you indeed have called each of us out by name, that we could be alive in this day and time to yet be able to say, that is my God who loved me so much that he gave his only begotten son. And after that, he didn't leave us comfortless. He gave us the gift of Holy Spirit that we could have that connection with him and live as more than conquerors in this day and time. All because we have a God who loves us personally. So thank you, Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.